Son, so that I may be saved.
Yes, sir.
Not you. He did it for me. And I boldly stand here today and say that. Jesus died on the cross for me, for my sins of yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, somebody needs to be giving him a hand praise right now. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, the thing is this. I got to ask you a question this morning, because I want to ask you a couple questions because we just did communion.
Mm-hmm.
We just told God that we're remembering everything that he has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to consider some things. Do you consider some of your life to be God's and some to be your own?
Who said that?
Does Jesus have control of your Sundays? But what about your Mondays? Do you submit your time to Christ, but not your bank account?
Ooh.
Are you faithful to Bible study, but not to serving others in love?
Mm.
Just want to know. You see, here's my title for today is All or Nothing.
All or nothing.
You're either all the way in, or you're all the way out.
No middle ground.
There is no middle ground.
Oh, come on.
There is no middle ground. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care what the world says. There is no middle ground. Either you believe all of what the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
or you believe none of it.
Yes, sir.
You can't pick and choose.
Well, I like this verse over here, so I'm going to go with that one. But you know what over here says, where I got to behave myself. I don't know if I'm going to follow that one. Nah, he wasn't talking about me. No, it's either you believe it and follow it all, or you believe and follow none of it.
Yeah.
You can't go in between.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? One thing's for sure, you can't flip-flop back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, there are times that we backslide, but you can't flip-flop back and forth, and today I'm going to serve Jesus and tomorrow I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
It's either all or nothing. Our scripture today is taken from Romans, the 14th chapter, one verse, verse 9. I hear pages reading, so I'll wait for you to get there. I know it's up on the board, but sometimes you just got to open your sword up. What did we say this morning? You've got to put on the full armor of God,
right.
Which means carrying your sword with you.
Yes, sir.
So I hear pages turning. I'm in no hurry today. We got about 2 hours before the tape runs out.
Amen.
I actually got more than that, because guess what? It's all up on the internet, so. Yeah, and since time changed, that means that I got an extra hour to preach.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to see all of y'all this morning. Okay, I don't hear any more pages read, so let me read for you from Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 9. It says, "For this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." The dead and the living.
Yeah.
You know, as you sit and contemplate the questions that I just asked you, think about this. If the Christian faith is to be compartmentalized, that's a big word, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Compartmentalized.
Like
we will fall for the common myth that faith is private.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but my faith is not private. I am not ashamed to say that I am a follower of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You see, many of us, we look at that view and say, as good as things are, that's as good as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have a tendency of taking Jesus Christ, that phrase, Jesus Christ is Lord,
and reducing it into an empty chant or catchy phrase.
Sit.
Now I ain't talking about nobody in this room. Because see, I know y'all would never make Jesus into a catchy phrase. But you see, if we're going to let this happen, why waste our time remembering all that he has done for us as he voluntarily became a living sacrifice for our sins? Why waste your time? You're either all in or you're all out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be both. We were talking this morning about Jesus walking up to the casket of that young man that was dead. The mother sitting there thinking, you know, my life is over. Because if for you history people, y'all that know history, know that back in the day, women had no jobs. They had no skills. Their only skill was to raise children in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Not like today where women have careers.
See it?
And this woman, her husband had died, so she was a widow. And her son had just died, so there was nobody to take care of her. She was looking at her current situation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say, but God?
But God.
You see, but God had another plan for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because as they're carrying her son to the cemetery to put him in that grave, Jesus!
Yes.
Jesus
just happened to walk by.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to walk by.
He just happened to be walking by.
Yeah.
And without even being asked.
Yeah.
Now some of y'all say, well, he just took it upon himself. But that's okay. Jesus could have the power.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has the power.
Yeah.
Power.
He just walked over and said, young man, rise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Young man, rise. And the young man rose up. And that woman's situation changed at that moment.
Yes,
absolutely. It changed at that moment. You see, not only did her son come alive, but she started believing in who Christ was.
Yes, yes.
You're either all in
or all out,
or you're all out. You see, we have to stop wasting our time. I got to tell you this. A proper understanding of what it means to claim that Jesus Christ is Lord is vital to our very salvation. Did you know that? You got to know what it means that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Because when you realize who Jesus Christ is, you stop playing games. You see, Jesus Christ is the spiritual health of the church.
Yes!
Let's take a look at what Paul has to teach us in Romans 14, where we discover three vital relationships which the Lordship of Christ affects. Three. First, it affects our relationship with God. See, that's so important.
Yes.
Because if you don't have a relationship with God, you are doomed. I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it, but there is no nice way to put it. You are doomed to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if we look at verse 7 through 9 in Romans 14, it says, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's.
That's what I'm talking about.
For this is our vocal voice, verse. For this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead
and
the living. You see, only when we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord does our relationship with God become right. We cannot find a more vivid contrast between a Christian and a non-Christian than Paul's description in these three verses, all of us are either living for ourselves or we're living for the Lord. If Christ is Lord, then nothing is outside his dominion.
Amen.
You can't have Christ as your Savior and later decide to have him as your Lord. I'm just going to pause there.
Yes.
I need to think for a minute.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to repeat it. You can't have Christ as your Savior and later down the line decide that you have him as your Lord. You see, it's a two-stage, we think of it as a two-stage process. But you know what? Let me tell you something. It's a package deal. If he's your Lord and Savior, he's your Lord.
Yes.
You can't just, you can't separate it. It's like we have these blended families nowadays. The man can't marry a woman without accepting the children. Or they might try, but they can't do it. It's a package deal. Mm. You can't marry a woman and then a year later decide, well, I'm going to take the children on too.
Mm.
It ain't going to work.
Yes.
You say, that ain't right. Why waste your time? You see, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the one who has all authority over heaven and earth. And you know what? He is seated at the side of his Father. And so it enables us to him to bestow salvation and the Holy Spirit on anyone who trusts in him.
Yes.
Well, the second thing that we got to look at is our relationship to each other.
Right.
If we go back and look at Romans 2 through 6, and I'm not going to read it, you can look at it, read it when you get home. Romans chapter 14, 2 through 6. In verse 1, Paul urges these Christians to accept those whose faith is weak. The Christian who understands that all things is not well, it's a process that has to be developed, versus those who are oversensitive in their conscience. I like oversensitive. Because I don't want to say egotistical maniacs that know it all. So I'm just going to leave it as oversensitive. You see, when you go back and read verses 2 through 6, Christians differ on what were matters of secondary importance. A modern day example would be someone who gets converted from a home where alcohol is drinking is a major problem.
Mm.
And has been a problem for them.
Mm.
So they go from one extreme to the other because they become a teetotaler.
Mm-hmm.
What's more, they cannot go anywhere near a bar. And you know what? That's quite understandable. But what is quite unacceptable is the condescending judgment which other Christians, you know, the elders, the know-it-alls, who look down upon those who we disagree with.
Yes.
You see, if you study the Word says that we are not to cause our brothers to stumble.
Right.
You see, if somebody has a problem with alcoholism, well, it doesn't say that we should not drink. It says that we are not to cause them to stumble. So if you know, I'm not saying Belinda has an alcoholism problem, but I'm using her as an example. if I'm somewhere with Belinda and Trevor, and I know that, you know, she's been struggling with alcoholism for a while, why would I sit and order a glass of wine at dinner in front of her? What do you say, Ron? That ain't right. They're struggling. Why would we do that? But people do it all day long. If you know somebody's struggling, do the Christian thing. And just hold back your urges to do something. You know what? Dinner tastes just as good without that glass of wine as it does with that glass of wine.
Yes.
And you know what? Belinda would appreciate it because now she's not sitting there talking about me. I'm not going to make her stumble. We're going to sit there and have a pleasant dinner.
Yes.
You see, but too many of us say, well, I have the right to, so I'm going to.
I know.
You have a right to drive down 580 at 65 miles an hour. Now, the California Highway Patrol will give you 74. But that doesn't mean that when it's raining outside and you can't see that you should be driving 74, 80, 85, 90. We had somebody this morning, everybody on the freeway was doing 79, 80. And this guy had to pass us. He was had to be doing 100. You see, I'm so glad when I left home, my wife was praying for me this morning. Her words to me were, be careful. Because you know people out there. You see, that's why we have to stay prayed up. Because you never know what somebody else is about to do. 80 was not fast enough for that person. They had to go across three lanes of traffic and then back across the other three. I don't understand it. Well, in his mind, he thought it was okay. But for the safety of all, it was not okay.
Right.
If he was out on Interstate 10 going between Las Vegas and whatever city the next city is, all by his lonesome, he could drive as fast as he wanted. Because there's nobody else on the road. But when you come up to somebody, you need to just break it down a little bit. That's the same thing with our rights, our supposed rights as Christians. Did you hear what I said? Your supposed rights. Because I may have rights, but I don't have the right to cause you to stumble.
Amen.
I don't have the right to make you fall.
Amen.
I don't have the right to make you go back to where you used to be.
Yes.
You have a lot of rights, but that's a right you don't have. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, we need to stop being those Christians with that superiority that looks down upon those whom we disagree with.
Yeah.
We got a problem in this country.
Absolutely. That's right.
We got a problem in this country.
Well, yes.
You see, when I came up, we were taught it's okay to disagree with one another. But that doesn't mean that because we disagree, that I got to do violence upon you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because we can't come to an agreement does not mean that we need to start throwing blows. Or better yet, pulling out your pistol and start shooting one another. We got to rise above that. Help me understand this, you see, because God gave me two instructions, right? He said, love him first, and then love my neighbor as I love myself. Now, if I love myself, that means Anna, who is my neighbor, I got to love her too, right? So when we're in a disagreement, that means I'm not going to run up and slap her upside the back of the head because she don't agree with me.
Anna's saying, please don't. Please don't.
As right as I may be in whatever, as soon as I take that step, I become wrong. I am not superior to Anna. I am her brother in Christ. And as her brother in Christ, we are to walk together. If one of us stumbles, the other is supposed to help us up and carry us on. You see, that's what a Christian's supposed to be doing. We got to walk together.
Amen.
In a relationship with one another.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, and then the third thing, our relationship to the outside world.
Important.
Finally, we have to acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. Then our relationship with the outside world, you know, the secular world, the unbelieving world, the world that, thank you, needs help. The context of this verse is judgment. The verse is looking at verse 11. So I'm just walking through Romans 14, verse 11. The context of this verse is that in judgment. Each one of us, listen. Each one of us is going to give an account for himself to Christ, the Lord. And Christ, the judge, so that in the first instant it applies to Christians, but there is a secondary application as well. Listen, in the day of judgment, every one of us will give an account for what we have done. Every one of us, whether you believe or not believe, you will give an account. Now see, here's the difference between the believer and the non-believer. You see, the believer will plead his case, and Jesus will say, I already paid for your sins. We just had communion, right? But the non-believer will not even get a chance to plead his case. There will be none of that, because I hear people saying, well, you know, one day I'll get up there and I'll tell God this and I'll tell God that. No, you won't. No, you won't. You won't tell God nothing. Because if you're a non-believer, you're already going to be tossed into the pit of fire. There is going to be no discussion. You see, as a believer, it's up to us to help the non-believer to know that, you know what, let me turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 22 and 23. Because this is where it says it best. Isaiah 22 says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. That $1 million or $1 billion or $1 trillion that you got saved up is not going to help you. You may be serving that God here on earth, but the God we serve in heaven is the one with the answer. There is no other God. Verse 23 says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That to me every, not just some, it says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. That means that every one of you, every one of us, every person at the Dublin Ranch, every person driving up and down 580, every person in the Bay Area, oh, you can just stretch it out wherever you want, every person in the world will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can do it now,
right,
and reap the benefits, or you can do it later and just know where you're headed. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got so much more.
Oh, my goodness.
Good word, man. You see, look, listen, as I prepare to close today, I want to share this story with you. It's from a broadcaster. His name was Steve Chalk. who was rightly pointed out to a group of people that you'll never, and people that you will never know that Jesus is really your Lord until he asks you to do something you don't want to do. Find out who truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord when he sends you to do something that you don't want to do. You see, a lot of us have problems getting the grip that gives the Bible gives us. It gives us so much information.
Yes.
It gives us the information we need about sharing your faith with your friends. It gives you the information about getting regular at a church and so on. You know, you do need to be in church on a regular basis. Now, I understand, and God understands, there are times that things come up in your life that you just can't be here. But just because that pillow's soft and that blanket's all nice and warm is not a reason not to come to church.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings with this, but just because that preacher's on TV, the word I study says that do not forsake the local assembly. Okay. I'm going to go down here because I might throw things at me in a minute. But, you know, here's the thing. Jesus Christ, your Lord. Well, is Jesus Christ really your Lord, or are you denying his lordship in some way? You see, to reject his teaching and to disobey his moral commands, to complain against his divine will, all this is denying his lordship. Is Jesus really your Lord? Think about it. Listen, when we try to boss other Christians around or to do or to despise them because they are not like us, it's to deny his lordship. Just because we're different. Some of us dance a little bit different than the others. Some of us praise different than the others. Some of us can't help but shout out because they know what the Lord has done for them. But you see, that doesn't make us any different. As the song says, we all bleed the same. If I was to run around and cut anybody in this place, your blood is going to be red. Because we all bleed the same. There is no difference between us. God loves us all. No matter what we look like, no matter what we talk like, no matter what clothes we wear, God still loves us. You see, the unfortunate thing is that we have this thing called short-term memory when it comes to God's will. Short-term memory. You see, he tells us repeatedly that he is a jealous God. Don't believe me? Go to Exodus 20, 3 and 5. He tells us that he gave his son as a living sacrifice for all our sins. John 3:16. He tells us that we are to love him first and our neighbors as we love ourselves. Matthew 22:37-39. He tells us that he has given all authority over the heavens and the earth to his son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:18. And he has commanded us that we are to teach one another his love and command. Matthew 28:19-20. So I ask you, are you willing today to surrender to him what it is that you have been withholding for years? Whatever it is, whatever it may be, are you ready to surrender it? When we deny his lordship, which we are so good at doing, it's the same thing as us creeping around in the darkness of fantasy.
You see, remember, it's all or nothing. You can't say that I love the Lord and continue to straddle that fence. It's all or nothing. You see, I never was a good fence walker. Anybody in here was? Anybody here can walk on a fence? I can't if it's laying flat. But if it's standing up tall, I can't straddle if you're walking. I will hurt myself. You see, I'm going to close with this statement. And I want you to think about this. You see, as Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Be all in or be all out.
Yes,
let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time together. We thank you for the word today, Lord God. A reminder, Lord God, that we can't straddle the fence any longer, Lord God. We have to either obey you, worship you, and serve you, or do as the world does. But we, Heavenly Father, want to serve you. You see, we proclaim that we are followers of Christ. You didn't force us to it, Lord God, but we proclaimed it. So we proclaim that we must walk in it, Lord.
All I do want us to play it now, but I have to leave out early today. I can't do that anymore.
Yes, you did.
I open my mind and my foot. You know,
yes, you did.
I'm going to be here today, okay?
You did it.
Perfect.
Go.